Okay, I'm going to speak about a topic today, just as a one-off. I'm going to speak about prayer. Now, I've been thinking a lot about prayer over the last few weeks, and I've been reading books, and I've been reading the Bible, I've been reading prayers in Scripture, and I'm thinking a lot around the whole topic of prayer. And over the last few weeks, I've been thinking, you know, how wonderful it is as Christians that we can pray to the Father in heaven. How wonderful it is that the Creator of the universe takes time to listen to what I have to say. I've been thinking about how incredible it is that we can thank God for our daily bread. We can thank God for shelter and food and family and friends, and how we can wonderfully intercede by praying prayers that change here and now. We don't always understand it, but we can see that when we pray, things shift and things change. And I'm thinking all around these thoughts of prayer, but then a thought came to me. Prayer isn't always wonderful. Sometimes prayer deeply disappoints us. And I prayed for countless things that never materialized. I'm sure you have prayed for countless people, countless situations, and it didn't seem like your prayers were answered. I remember one very distinct example. So before I was married and before Hope Church, I lived in West Ham locally, and along with another bunch of others, Lily was there, Jen, who wasn't my wife at that time, and a bunch of others, we ran a kids club in West Ham, and we got all these local kids to come, and it was mad Saturday morning games, and we told them about Jesus, and there was loads of kids that started to come over the years that we did this kids club. And a number of the kids made commitments to Christ, and the kids then became young people. They grew up, as kids do. And there was this particular young lad called Gary, who came from a non-Christian family, and he became a Christian through Kids Club. He came through a youth thing that I started to run. He came to New Day 3 times, which is a youth festival with 7,000 young people around the country. He got healed when he was at New Day. He made a clear commitment to Christ. He was very forthright about his faith and about loving Jesus, even though his family, who were a wonderful, loving family, didn't have any interest in church. And this was a wonderful story of what was going on in Gary's life that I'd seen over 5-6 years. And then when he was 15 years old, he was diagnosed with leukemia. 15 years old, diagnosed with leukemia. I remember praying on my knees for Gary, passionately praying, visiting him at hospital, going along with his mum to visit him, going along on my own to visit him, praying on my knees at night that God would heal this beautiful young lad who'd come to Christ and been so changed by the gospel. But sadly, after 6 months of a fight and a battle with leukemia, he passed away and went to be with Jesus in heaven. I had the privilege and also the deeply sad occasion of being part of the pallbearers carrying his coffin to the cemetery. I was struggling, you know. I'd prayed, I'd asked God that he might save this young lad, and yet my prayers didn't seem to have been answered. I prayed for marriages to stay together, and then they've ended up separating. I prayed for people to be set free from addictions, and yet they continue to struggle with the demon, the addiction that has had them for so many years. When we pray and our prayers aren't answered, it can lead to frustration. It can lead to anguish. We can wrestle internally with our faith. We can wrestle internally with all kinds of things. And above all else, if you're anything like me, you will have lots of questions. What's happening? Why hasn't God answered? Why is that person not healed? Why has that person gone through such a difficult time? And then what happens is, if we're not careful, when we hear someone else telling a miracle, of how God healed them of a particular disease, or we hear a miracle of someone saying how God provided them a job or provided for them financially, if we're not careful, what happens is we'll immediately go, yes, but, no, that's not but, because our minds and our hearts will be so twisted by the unanswered prayers that we are struggling with. And we come to a place, and it's an unhealthy place, where we don't air our thoughts. We don't air our doubts. But you know, the Bible has a lot more to say about unanswered prayer than the church does. The church can be a bit funny about unanswered prayer. It cannot touch it. It cannot talk about it. But the Bible talks about it. Did you know Jesus himself experienced the disappointments of unanswered prayer? There's the story about when he heals in the gospel a blind man and he prays for him. And this blind man then says, well, I can just see trees. He wasn't fully healed. He could just see trees. There was something he could see, but not full healing. So Jesus prayed for him again before the healing came. In the Garden of Gethsemane, which we're going to look at in a moment, Jesus prays, take this cup from me. And God says, no. On the cross, Jesus prays, my God, why have you forsaken me? And heaven is silent. And perhaps most interesting of all is in John chapter 17, what's called the high priestly prayer. And it's a prayer that Jesus prayed for his church, and he prayed for all of us, that the church across the world would be brought together in complete unity. Tragically, the church isn't unified across this globe. So think of it like this. Think of it. Jesus, right now up there in heaven at the right hand of the Father, has expressing and feels the pain of unanswered prayer. He understands unanswered prayer. His prayer for the church is not being realized. There is divisions and infighting and not complete unity, and yet that was what he prayed. You see, we all have struggles when we wrestle with prayers that aren't answered. And what I want to do today is look at the prayer that Jesus prayed in Mark 14. It's in all the Gospels. The prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's a prayer that Jesus prays when he is experiencing the deepest physical struggles, the deepest emotional struggles, and the deepest spiritual struggles. And you know, whatever unanswered prayers you are wrestling with, whether it be physical unanswered prayers, whether it be mental, emotional health that you are struggling with, whether it be spiritual dryness and unanswered prayers, Jesus understands. So let's read Mark 14. We're going to read verse 32 to 36. It'll come up on the screen. They, that's Jesus and his disciples, went to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus says to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. What I want to do this morning is look at three things we must not do when it comes to unanswered prayer. And three things we must keep doing. Three things we must do when it comes to unanswered prayers. Number one, when it comes to wrestling with the complexities of prayer and unanswered prayer, we must not be isolated. Isn't it interesting that Jesus, in his time of need, did not go into this alone? Verse 33, he took his mates together, and then his three best friends with him to pray. He takes Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. Jesus includes his three friends in his distress and in his struggles and in his questions. He doesn't put a brave face on it and say, I'm okay, it's all right, Peter, it's all right, James, just I'm sorted, I'm fine, I'm doing this. He doesn't do that. He involves them in his distress. He involves them in his pain. I think the biggest temptation that many of us will fall into when we struggle with unanswered prayer is that we kind of want to go it alone. We kind of enforce on ourselves a self-isolation. Our soul becomes overwhelmed and we don't want to let anyone else in. I'll be honest, I'm an extrovert. I love spending time with people. I love, you know, hanging out with people. I love talking on the phone. You know, I'm always people, people, people. But when something's tough, when something's difficult, when I'm struggling with something, I have a tendency to go it alone. You ask my wife, you ask Sam, you ask some of my best friends. You know, when I'm struggling with something, when there's something that's not quite right, when there's an issue that I struggle with, my tendency, even though I'm a people person, even though I'm an extrovert normally most of the time, my tendency is to go, oh, let me just hide away and wrestle with it alone. Let me just hide away in my little cave of self-pity. Let me just hide away and just try and work it out myself. We need one another. Jesus, the Son of God, involved Peter, James, and John in his distress and in his troubles. So firstly, number one, don't be isolated. Talk to others, involve others when you are wrestling with unanswered prayer. Secondly, don't believe the lie that God does not care. Isn't it interesting in verse 36 that Jesus, when he prays, he gets on the ground and he prays, he begins his prayer by saying, Abba, Father. Jesus is overwhelmed with this situation. He's distressed beyond belief. We know from other places that he's sweating blood. This is a time of great anguish and pain, and yet he begins his prayer with Abba, Father. His starting point is God's love. His anchor is God's love for him, the dad's love for the son. When life hurts, when we struggle with unanswered prayer, the voice can often come into our head, God doesn't care. He's not really interested in what you're going through. He really is not interested. Don't bother him. He's got other things on his agenda. But Jesus reminds us that the Father's love is constant. The Father's love is there for us at all times and in all situations. And when we come with our wrestles and we come with our pain and we come with our unanswered questions, we are to come to our daddy, to our Abba Father. Many of you will know my daughter, Grace, beautiful daughter. She's now 9 years old. Well, a couple of years ago, some of you will know this story, but not all of you. A couple of years ago, she was up in Scotland with her grandparents. I was down in London. My wife, Jen, was in Leeds. And basically, to cut a long story short, we got a phone call on the Saturday afternoon to say that Grace had fallen from a tree, quite a high up tree, and fallen face first and had got a big stone, a short, flat, pointed stone in her forehead. You know, you're down in London, this is way up in Scotland, and you're like, man, what's going on? You know, your beautiful daughter, and you know, where, how is she, what's going on? And it was miles away, and you didn't really know how serious it was, and was it going to be life-threatening? Was she going to be brain damaged? And all these questions are flying through your head as she's rushed to hospital, and I booked a plane, but it couldn't be until the Sunday afternoon. And you know, all these questions, and you're praying, but all these thoughts, and hospital, and how serious, and what's going to happen, and I'm not even close by, and all these wrestling thoughts going on in your head and in your heart. And the tempting thing at that time was to doubt God's kindness and to doubt his love. And the tendency was very real to pull away from the Father's arms. Rather than go to God in that time of distress and that time of uncertainty, The tendency was to pull away. But we're called to draw near to the arms of our Father, to know His comfort and His love. And I remember distinctly in that Sunday afternoon going to Stansted, getting on the aeroplane and flying up, not knowing what I was going to see, not knowing how serious things were. I remember distinctly God saying to me, "I'm your Father. I love you. Come to me. Come to me in your pain. Come to me in your distress. Come to my arms of love. Come and be enveloped in them. Whatever happens, God loves you. Whatever happens, His grace and His love and His arms are there for you." It was so distinct. God saying, "Come to me. Know that I am there for you. Don't doubt my love for you, even though this circumstance has happened that you cannot understand. Don't doubt my love for you." And I think it's very important that we need to remember that we are able to trust that which we can't understand. I think sometimes as Christians, we struggle with unanswered prayer because we don't understand it. But God says, "Trust me, I'm your loving Father, even if you don't understand what is going on." Isaiah 55 and verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." We may not understand why God is allowing a situation to continue to occur, but we can choose to trust the love of our Abba Father. Going up to Scotland, going to see Grace, I remember the love of the Father, the comfort of His arms, the prayers and support of many, the words of hope of Scripture, the peace and the comfort of the prayers. I remember it being like just arms of love wrapped around me. I didn't know where it was going to go. I didn't know what would happen when I got there. I didn't know what would have happened to my little girl, but I knew that the arms of love were around me. We must, when it comes to wrestling, when it comes to unanswered prayer, we must go to the arms of our Father and not run away from the arms of our Father. So don't be isolated. Don't believe the lie that God doesn't care and He's not your Father in heaven. And thirdly, don't limit God. Isn't it interesting that Jesus, after saying, "Abba, Father," then says, "Everything is possible for you." He reminds himself that it's His Father, that it's His Father in heaven. But now he then affirms God's power and sovereignty. You know, so often when we come and pray, we're talking to God, but we can sometimes doubt His power and authority. We have our problems, we have our pain, we have our struggles, and if we're not careful, we can then doubt that God can change that. We can kind of downgrade our expectations in order to protect our heartache of dashed hopes. The reality is we are to be persevering in believing God for the impossible, even when we don't know what is happening and where our prayers are going. Jesus clings to the Father. Jesus clings to the power of God. In His darkest hour, He is still saying, "Everything is possible for you." We must not get rid of God's love and God's power in our times of suffering and in our unanswered prayer. We must hold on to the truth that God is all-powerful, that nothing is impossible, that at every step and every moment there is the possibility of rescue. We must hold on to the possibility in every moment and every time that there is purpose in our pain and in our suffering, that there is hope after the grave, that whatever may happen, God is Lord of all things. So Jesus just teaches us so much. Because He was in a position of wrestling with questions and wrestling with unanswered prayer and wrestling with what the future may hold, like many of you. But He didn't get isolated. He didn't doubt the Father's love. And he didn't doubt that nothing is impossible, that God's power and authority could have rescued him at any moment, and that there was purpose in what he was going through. So three things we must not do. And then three things we must do in times of anguish and unanswered prayer. Number one, we must keep praying. We must persevere in prayer. In Luke's gospel, in the same retelling the same part of the story, it says in Luke 22 and verse 44, "And Jesus, being in anguish, prayed more earnestly." And in Matthew 26, again retelling the same part of the story, verse 39, it says, "Jesus went a little bit further, fell on his face to the ground and prayed." You see, friends are essential. One anothering is vital. But our greatest need is to lay hold of God in prayer. I think the biggest key to prayer is not big, extravagant words. It's not praying big, clever, theological prayers. The biggest key to prayer is perseverance. Jesus in the gospel tells the story of the persistent widow who knocks at the door of the unjust judge. And what gets the unjust judge to act is her persistence. She doesn't stop praying. It's her persistence that moves the unjust judge. How much more will our Father in heaven act and move if we persist in asking, if we persist in praying, if we persist in coming to God? The truth is that when it's our unanswered prayers and questions and doubts, the truth is that many of us just give up too easily. Many of us will come up against a struggle. We will come up against questions. We will come up against a problem, and we will just stop praying. There's an argument. There's a difficulty in a relationship. There's an obstacle in where we believe God is calling us to go, and so we give up. We stop praying. When it comes to wrestling with the unanswered prayers, let me challenge you to say, keep praying. Be persistent, persevere, and keep praying. The second thing that Jesus does is he perseveres in prayer. The second thing we must do is to keep being honest. Jesus says, "Take this cup from me." Basically, Jesus asked God for another way, an alternative to the cross. I think this is one of the positions in Scripture that is the most vulnerable. We see Jesus, the Son of God, at his most vulnerable in all of Scripture. And you could argue that it's almost like Jesus is praying unbiblically. He doesn't want to go to the cross. He wants another easy way out. Sound like you and me? It sounds like me. But Jesus is real. Jesus is raw. Jesus is fragile. He's saying, "Look, Dad, I'm scared. Dad, I'm really scared. I don't want to go and suffer. I don't want to go this way. I don't want to go through the pain. I don't want to go through the difficulty." He's real. He's honest. And you know, God wants you to pray with radical honesty. He wants you to pray with raw emotion. He wants you to pray honestly to him. He wants you to pray imperfectly and just let your heart speak out to him. Those five words, "Take this cup from me," they give you permission to be as honest and as raw and as real as you want with God. Please don't pretend when it comes to God. We might all have our struggles with how we are with other people. Well, how we come across to other people. But please, whatever you do, don't put a pretense on when it comes to God. When you're on your own, when you're in your bedroom, when you're walking down the street, when you're praying to him, no pretense. Be real. He knows anyway. He just wants your radical honesty to tell him how it is. Time and again in Scripture, you know, Jeremiah says, "I wish I wasn't born." You can't get much more radical and honest than that. David talks in the Psalms about his deep regret, his sin, and all through Scripture, we can read of men and women of God who just are honest and raw in their prayers. Listen, be honest and raw when you pray. Jesus was honest, so be honest too. Be released to be honest. Some of you need to persevere in your prayers and not give up. Some of you just need to just be real. Stop pretending when you pray. Just be real. Just tell him as it is. Just blurt it all out. It doesn't make you any less holy. There's a freedom when you're just completely yourself in front of God, on your own, you and him, telling him how it is. So, keep persevering when it comes to prayer. Be honest. Keep being honest. And finally, keep trusting God. Yet not what I will, but you. Not what I want, God, but what your will is for my life. In the extremes of agony, as Jesus is sweating blood, which medically we know is just a sign of complete stress, it's at the extremes of physical stress. Jesus was the extreme of physical stress, sweating blood. At that moment, he relinquishes control. He surrenders to the will of God. He surrenders to God's will, not just when it makes sense, not just when it feels good, but he surrenders to God's will, even when it hurts deeply, even when he doesn't know what's going to happen next. Here's the thing about the Bible and sometimes the familiarity we have with Scripture. We read this prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane with the benefit of hindsight. We understand exactly why Jesus' prayers go unanswered. Jesus prayed that someone would come and rescue him from the cross. The angels would come, but they didn't. There was silence from heaven. Jesus prays that someone would take this cup away from him, that there would be another way, but heaven was silent. We know why that is. We know because it was because Jesus was to fulfill Scripture and die on the cross in our place. We know that. But Jesus didn't know. Jesus didn't understand what was going to happen, where this was going to go. You see, we read Scripture so often, and the benefit of hindsight, it sometimes doesn't help us. We read the prayer that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego pray in the book of Daniel. When they pray, God, we'll go into the fiery furnace, and whether we perish or not, we'll still follow you. We know they go into the fiery furnace, and they come out alive. They didn't know that. They surrendered to the will of God. It seemed scary. It seemed like they were going to die, but they still surrendered to the will of God. Whether it be Esther, whether it be Daniel, whether it be Joseph, whether it be Jesus, we know how it works out. We know the end of the story. But when they prayed the prayers that we read in Scripture, these godly men and women did not know how it was going to work itself out. But what they all did was they surrendered to God's will. You know, one day we will look back on our lives. And one day we will understand with much better clarity why our Father in heaven denied us some of our most heartfelt requests. Listen to this quote by a theologian called P.T. Forsyth. He said this: "We shall come one day to heaven where we shall gratefully know that God's great refusals were sometimes the true answers to our truest prayers." We shall come one day to heaven where we shall gratefully know that God's great refusals, unanswered prayers, were sometimes the true answers to our truest prayers. Lord, help me to trust you. To trust you when the future doesn't make sense. To surrender to your will when I don't know what that will mean for my safety, for my future, for my life. I want to draw this to a close. I don't need to be a prophet to know that every single one of us at different times in our Christian walk has struggled, will struggle, are presently struggling with unanswered prayers. All of us are. To some degree or another, we are all struggling. We have questions. Why me? Why not? Why this? Why not that? Why did you answer that one, God, and not that one? Why is that person's prayer being answered and not my prayer being answered? We can have a million and one of these questions flowing through our heads and our hearts at the same time. Don't doubt this. God is a loving Father. Jesus prays, Abba, Father. It's his anchor and it's his rock. But we don't just have a loving Father who cares and knows and wants to put his arms around us. We have one of whom nothing is impossible. Don't believe either of those lies that God doesn't care and God isn't powerful. He cares and he's all powerful. He loves you and he's all powerful. He loves each and every one of you and nothing is impossible for him to do. So our response is to persevere, to keep praying, to keep knocking on the door, to not give up when at first we don't succeed, to be honest, to be real, to be brutally honest with God, and to keep trusting him. Yet not what I want, not what I will, but your will be done. My way may seem good, but you know what, God? You have a better way. I don't understand everything, but I want to trust you and I want to follow you and follow your ways and one day look back over my life and see God's hand and see God's path and see God's purposes walked out. Could the band come up? I just feel that God really led me to preach on this morning. I was going to preach on prayer, but something completely different until about Thursday. And just felt a burden that I wanted to kind of teach you, and I wanted to also kind of say, look, God's highlighting this and pointing his finger on this because he wants to help every single one of you. He wants to help you, and he wants to show you how to deal with the life that we live and the struggles and the questions and the unanswered prayer. And we can understand that and learn from Jesus' example. So let's bow our heads. I'm going to just leave a moment of quiet. I believe God wants us to respond. And I believe God specifically has a setting free and things he wants to do this morning. But just before we do that, just before we respond to God, just a moment to stop, to think, to listen, to wait. Now I'm going to ask a question with a response. If you are here this morning and there's a particular, in a sense this is a preach for all of us, it's helpful for all of us to hear this because at some point in time this is exactly what we will experience. Unanswered prayers. How do we deal with it? How do we wrestle with our struggles, our questions? But I want to pray specifically, if you're here this morning and you specifically would say, right now, there's an unanswered prayer, which or prayers, it could be many things, that I am struggling with right now, and it's a real issue, and I'm struggling with it, and I don't know where to go with it, and it's affecting my relationship with God. If that's you, I would just like you to stand. I'm not going to ask you to do anything else right now, but if there's a specific unanswered prayer that is in your life, that is a block that is just a hindrance to your faith, to your walking with God. And just be real. Just be real in front of God right now and just stand. If you're saying, yeah, this is tough. I don't know where this is going. I don't understand. I don't know what's going on. I don't know, God, where you want this to be or what you want me to do. So if that's you, just stand. Unanswered prayer that's become a blockage, that's become an issue, that is a real struggle for you. Just stand. Sometimes it's just a helpful thing to acknowledge it. Acknowledge it. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I want to just pray for you, and then we're all going to respond. Father God, you see these dear ones. You know their life. You know their situation. Lord, I want to pray right now that you would help them to be real, to be honest, to be raw with the Father and tell God exactly what it is that is the problem, that is the issue, that is the struggle. I pray that you would help them to persevere in their prayers, to not give up, to keep praying, to be persistently banging on the door and not giving up in their prayers. And Lord, I want to pray for breakthrough that would come, that says, not what I will, but your will be done. Not what I will, but your will be done. Lord Jesus, we pray, set them free, Lord Jesus. Let there be a freedom that comes from saying, it's not my will, but your will. Let there be a freedom that comes from being honest. Let there be a freedom that comes through persevering and asking and not giving up and knocking on the door. Lord Jesus, let your freedom come. I pray, set these dear folks free. I pray this would no longer be an obstacle and a problem, but it would be a point of liberation. It would be a point of knowing that God is with them, a point of knowing that their daddy stands with them, with his arms around them, and says, nothing is impossible for me. Nothing is impossible for me. Lord, keep ministering to each dear one. We pray that in their wrestling and in their questions, there would be breakthrough and there would be just a wonderful fulfilling of all of your plans and all of your purposes. Can we all stand? Can we all stand? We're going to sing. We're going to sing, all your promises are yes and amen. And it's very deliberate to sing this as a response. We're going to sing it because it talks about God's promises. It talks about his purposes. It talks about